This morning I want to concentrate our attention on Matthew 12, verse 50, the final verse that Don read. The verse is probably familiar to each one who is here, but we can still learn some things from it. In Matthew 12, verses 46 through 49, we have really the information that sets the stage for a conclusion which is given in verse 50. Members of the Lord's family came to see him, and Jesus used this occasion to teach about his extended family. In Matthew 12, 50, Jesus said, "It is possible to be his brother." When I think Christians normally look at Jesus, they view him in typical ways. He is our mediator. He is our Savior. He is God, John 1:1. From John 5, we learn that he is going to be the judge at the end of time. But in Matthew 12, verse 50, we have a portrait of Jesus, which perhaps is a picture that we do not often use. It is possible and right for Jesus to be our brother. Those who are of a feminine gender can be a sister to him. Jesus even used the word mother. I have never heard any person, as I look back over the years, say, "I am a brother to Jesus of Nazareth." Have you? I suspect the type of pronouncement would probably shock us. If we had someone come along and make that statement, we likely would think they need some professional help. Send him or her down to the local psychiatrist. But in Matthew 12:50, Jesus said certain people are his brothers, sisters, and mothers. Now, this language, of course, is figurative. We understand that. But it teaches an important lesson. Those who are members of Christ's body are closely attached to the Lord. They are members of his spiritual family. Jesus is the head of this family. And for this reason, the people of God should be comforted. If he is our brother, our sister, or our mother, or we are serving in that capacity, he is going to protect us. He will love and care for us as brothers, sisters, and mothers. The members of his family will not be abandoned. When we look at Matthew 12:50, we really find an encouraging description. We are part of Jesus' family. Not only are we a part of the Lord's family, but we find in this family we have a prominent place. Have you ever considered the fact, the description that Jesus uses and how it could be different from other descriptions? He could have said, "Well, the people in my family, they're going to be an aunt or an uncle or a distant cousin." But he did not use these kinds of relationships. Rather, he used the most intimate, the most closely related terms he could in describing the family members. The saved are compared to brothers, sisters, and mothers. What I'm saying is not in any way designed to lessen the deity of Jesus, but it is material that is designed to bring out a point which is not often taught. We can have a relationship with Christ and should, which is so close it is like he is a close family member. This type of relationship should be appealing to every Christian. It is a great type of relationship. And because it's so good, the people of God should ask, how does it work? How does it begin? How does it operate? How does it function? Well, in the physical realm, we know that in order to be a member of the family, one must be born into it or adopted into it. The same is true in the spiritual realm. When we think about God's family, being a brother to Christ or being a sister to Christ or being a mother, there needs to be a way in which we connect to the Lord. We need to be adopted into his family. We need to be born. Jesus alluded to this in John 3. I want to read verses 3 and 5. I think most of us could quote what Jesus had to say to Nicodemus. In verse 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except one be born anew, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Jesus categorically said that unless a person is born anew, unless a person is born again, has a second birth, he or she will not have a part in the kingdom of God. Now that's important because the kingdom of God is the place where the Lord's spiritual relatives are. If we're not in the kingdom, we're not a spiritual relative. If we're not a spiritual relative, we are not in the kingdom. If we're not born anew, we cannot be his brother, sister, or mother. We were born once into the world. But to get into the kingdom, Jesus says a second birth is required. Continuing with John 3:5, Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except one be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." How does a person become a member of God's spiritual family? Well, Jesus says we must use the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has given us words from God, the Bible. In this book, we are told what we need to do to become a brother or sister to Jesus. In John 3:5, the Bible says the final step involves water or baptism. We're baptized into Christ, Galatians 3:27, for the forgiveness of our sins, Acts 2, verse 38. Once we are baptized, Acts 2:47, especially in the King James translation, says that we are added to the Lord. That is, we are added to his spiritual family. And this is why Jesus was able to say in Matthew 12, verse 50, whosoever shall do the will of my Father who is in heaven, he's my brother, sister, and mother. This is precisely what the people on the day of Pentecost did. They did the will of the Father in heaven, and what was the result? They were added to that spiritual family. They became brothers to the Lord, they became sisters to Jesus, and they also became his mothers in the figurative sense, his spiritual kin. Someone might ask if baptism is really that important. Is the water Jesus described in John 3:5 truly essential? Is it actually required to be a member of God's family? Well, the answer is found in Matthew 12:50. The first part of this verse contains several key thoughts. Notice, if you will, the first word of significance, the word will. Jesus says the Father has a will. He has a plan. He has some things that in his mind are required. They need to be done. Well, what is the Father's will? It is described in John 3. God has a kingdom. God's will is for people to be in this kingdom. It is God's will for people to be the Lord's spiritual relatives. God's will for entering into this kingdom was expressed by Jesus in John 3, verses 3 and 5. Well, this information is clear, but who can become? Who is entitled to become a citizen of God's kingdom? The answer is found in Matthew 12:50. Jesus said, "For whosoever shall do the will of my Father who is in heaven, he can be my brother, sister, and mother." Any person who is interested in becoming part of the Lord's spiritual family is permitted to do so. The offer is open to all people. But there is, however, a condition. Jesus said people must do the will of the Father. When we look at the word will, we find in the New Testament there are different wills. One of the places where this is indicated is found in the book of 1 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 9, verse 17. Paul had done some thinking about the word will. He understood that mankind, humanity, has a will. He also knew that human will may or may not be consistent with divine will, God's will. Perhaps a good illustration of this is children. If you have children, you may know that sometimes your child's will is consistent with your will, and perhaps on other occasions it is not consistent with what you want done. Well, Paul understood the same thing. Again, verse 17 of 1 Corinthians 9. For if I do this of mine own will, I have a reward. But if not of my own will, I have a stewardship entrusted to me. Paul was able to make up his own mind about things. He had a will. He was able to choose his course. The same is true for each other individual on the earth. At the present time, there is a lot of emphasis on what people want in the realm of spiritual matters. It's not uncommon to hear someone say, well, I want, I would like, I expect, I need to have this, that, or something else in worship. In religious matters, the focus is often more centered on self than God. This is a common approach, but this is inconsistent with what Jesus said in Matthew 12. If we are thinking about our will, it's going to put us in the wrong spiritual family. Remember again Matthew 12:50. Who is Jesus' brother, sister, and mother? Those who do not their own will, religiously speaking, but Jesus said those who do the Father's will. You remember from the Apostle Paul a time in his life when he did not do the Father's will? He was going down the road that he had selected, persecuting Christians. He did what he believed was best. During this time, he was outside the family of God. He was not a brother to Christ because he was doing the wrong will. Jesus said we can only be a brother to him, a sister to him, a mother to him, if we do the Father's will. Paul came to realize what the Father's will was. He did it. He was baptized, Acts 22, and then he was added, just like the people on the day of Pentecost, Acts 2, verse 47, to the church, to God's family. So our personal will, the decisions, the choices, the attitudes that we have and make, they can keep us out of God's family. Another will which the Bible describes is found in the book of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 26. Here we find that in addition to God having a will, Matthew 12, in addition to human will, we also learn from what Paul said that Satan has a will. This is the final verse in 2 Timothy 2. And they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him unto his will. There are people in this life, even religious people, good people, who are captives of Satan's will. If we're not following the will of the Father, Matthew 12, verse 50, we're following the will of Satan. We're not with God. If we are not with God, Jesus, if you have held your hand at Matthew chapter 12, in verse 30, he said that we are against God. That's exactly what the verse says. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth. In Matthew 12, Jesus presents information in such a way where he says there are only two choices in life. We are with him, or we are not. And if we are not with him, he says we are against him. The people who are in this second category are completely disassociated with him. There is no spiritual kinship. There is no relationship whatsoever. The second category, though, is described by Matthew 12:50. If we do the Father's will, Jesus says we are with him in the fullest sense. We are likened to a close family member. We have a close and constant connection with him. Now, these two categories are extremes. I'm persuaded, the more I deal with people, that in the spiritual realm, a high percentage of folks want to be right in the middle. They want to sit on the fence. They, on the one hand, do not want the kind of close and intimate relationship that Jesus described in Matthew 12:50, being brother, sister, mother. That's too close. But on the other hand, people say, well, Jesus is important enough to me that I don't want to completely abandon him. So I will try to find a position in between these two very different positions, straddle the fence, and that will be okay. I will have some kind of halfway faith and partial commitment. Well, people have been thinking that way for a long time. Jesus was aware of it because he spoke of it in Matthew 12:30. He said, he that is not with me, he that is not fully committed, he that is not fully on my side is not in the middle. But Jesus said he is actually against me. We find in the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, another group of people who tried it, the Christians at Laodicea. They didn't want to be hot. They didn't want to really be the Lord's spiritual kin in the sense of brothers, sisters, and mothers. But on the other hand, they did not want to be cold. They did not want to completely disassociate themselves with Christ and reject Jesus. So these folks said, we thought about this, and we have come to the conclusion in our minds that we will find an in-between spot, and everything will be okay. We're not going to deny Jesus, but not be real close, and we will have the best of both worlds. You know what Jesus says in Revelation chapter 3? I hate you. You can find those words in the text. That's what it says. Jesus goes on to say, and this is a slight paraphrase, you make me so sick by your half-heartedness, I want to vomit. I will spew you out of my mouth. He went on to say these people were miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Not talking about their physical status, but in the spiritual realm. And then he used this word to make it real clear. He said, repent. Sitting on the fence, Jesus says, it's not going to cut it. You are either with me or against me. And this idea that you can stay in the middle, he says, it has to be one way or the other. And you need to clean up your act and do it now. The Lord in Matthew 12:50, when we think about descriptions for Christians, says he desires to be close to his people. If his people refuse to have that relationship, he will spew them out of his mouth, Revelation 3:15-20, and take on the role of judge and punisher. One of the great descriptions for Christians is found in the 12th chapter of Matthew. We, if we are a faithful and dedicated child of God, are like a brother, sister, and mother to Jesus of Nazareth. So as we go through our day-to-day Christian life, what kind of relationship do we have with the Lord? Are we hot or are we cold? Are we on fire or are we burned out and up? There is no middle ground. If we are not actively trying to serve Christ, if our relationship with him is not like what Jesus described in Matthew 12, verse 50, if the Lord were standing in this pulpit today, he would preach the same message that he spoke in Revelation 3. It's time to repent. He didn't want to be mean. He was not trying to be harsh, but he was showing his people that they were on the wrong road. Repentance is a command that applies to both Christians and non-Christians. There are Christians who, after becoming a child of God, after being added to the Lord's spiritual family, they sometimes become lazy, apathetic, half-hearted, partially committed. The kind of situation described in Revelation 3, and Jesus says, return to your first love. Come back and do it my way, the right way, so that you're in my family and a member that I will love and protect. Repentance also applies to people before they become a Christian. Those who believe are told to repent. In Acts 17:30, the Bible says, the times of ignorance therefore God overlooked. But now he commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Repentance means a change of course, a change of direction, and alteration of one's lifestyle. Once this is in place, a person confesses Christ, and as the people were on the day of Pentecost, Acts 2:38, baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of their sins. Baptism in water not only forgives or remits sins, but it adds us to the Lord's spiritual family. This morning, have we been united to Christ so that we are like his brother, his sister, or his mother? If not, you can take the steps this morning that will create that bond, and you can start walking in what the Bible says, Romans 6, 1-4, is a brand new life. We invite you to do that. If you have become a Christian, and as a member of the Lord's spiritual family, you've tried to ride the fence, Jesus says it's time to stop. As a Christian or a non-Christian, can we help you? These are the questions that we're asking as we stand and sing.